Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Familiar faces from long ago and new faces, and this is very wonderful. Let's do introductions around.
Wendy.
Leslie.
Roman.
Nico.
Marie. Yeah.
Don.
Jeffrey.
Diane.
Yeah.
Lori. Lori. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're doing a wonderful thing for everyone. It's demonstrating that one can sit, stand, walk, or lie down. And it's all the same practice.
Thank you.
Yes, very important to know that. We are coming to the very end of this book, Each Moment is the Universe, by Katagiri Roshi. And we need to decide, I hope tonight, on something new to explore for the next series of Tuesday nights. So, I hope you all have things in mind. We've had lists that we've done so many things that we can. It's about time to repeat what we've done before. So feel free if you want to go back and do something else, like the Heart Sutra, or we could do that. It's always new. The Dharma is always new. If it's true, it's new every time. I don't know why that works that way, but it really amazes me. So, in the meanwhile, we have the last few chapters of this book. And he's been... this is a collection of talks that he gave, and it's collected by someone after he passed away. So it at the end begins to have the flavor of the one who is putting it together, I do believe. And so I think it's sort of quickly putting the last delicious bits in that he didn't want to pass away. He wanted to include as much as he could. So these I think we can go through fairly quickly, because they're pretty general actually on how to live. Yeah, this one is called Freedom from Causation. And he's suggesting that we can live like the Ganges River, that we can live as a great, huge, slow-moving river that isn't always getting shaken up and rattling and falling down falls, and it's just slowly, smoothly going along. Well, maybe so, but...
Katagiri Roshi was always very strong in that.
Yes.
He was always in imperturbability.
Yes. Yes, he was. Which is lovely if you can do it. As he says, it's very hard to achieve. And it seems, in my view, that it's best to have a clear view of exactly how you yourself are flowing, rather than making an effort to be like something. You're okay just the way you are. We're all okay. And sometimes we're a busy little creek, and sometimes we're a smoothly flowing Ganges. But we can't really impose on ourselves some way to be. We just have to be surprised when we discover that this is what we are. Sometimes we like it and sometimes we don't. And that's okay too. It's fine. He has a very touching story in here about his growing up. He grew up in a family of 10 children, and he was the 10th, and his mother never paid any attention to him at all. And he felt very, very sad and neglected. And then one day, when he was a little boy, she took him away to a little expedition and gave him an umeboshi treat. And so he has this little riff about what babies need and what people need, because he was so longing for it and so bereft, really, of not having had a mother except for that one experience. He says, sometimes a mother or father should just be present with her or his children. Go somewhere, take a walk with them, that's enough. So he's just coming out of his own life and how he made some very wonderful thing with it. He said, anytime, anywhere, you can be free from your karmic life, because your karmic life is going on in Buddha's world. That's the reality of one step. To live your life freely, in peace and harmony, all you have to do is wholeheartedly take care of one step in every moment. We're always in a race. We're always racing, trying to get to the next place. But the reality is just this one step, this one right here, right now, and then the next one. It's hard to avoid casting our minds into the future, and at this point in our culture, I think there's a lot of reflection on what's going to happen next, and our life is kind of stirred up around that. So remembering that it's only your own step on the ground every moment, your seat, wherever you are, is the moment of you. The rest of it is a dream. It's made up. This next chapter is called Eternal Possibilities. He says, impermanence isn't change itself, it's what causes change to be. It's the basic teaching of existence. You can't see impermanence with your naked eye, but you can see physical and mental change. And within change, you can see that the depth of human life is constantly moving, functioning, working, and producing, and always supporting your life. It's the impermanence is the interconnectedness of it, the dynamic of it. So although we feel so separate, so unique, we're totally connected to every single thing else and are affected by every single thing else. So the causes and conditions of each single thing, every little atom, is our causes and conditions as well. We can't control it. We'd like to control it, but mostly we can't. We experience Don't judge your life, he says, just by seeing yourself in your own small territory. Accept your life as understood by others, too. Accept yourself simultaneously with others, and take care of your life in eternal possibility. Eternal possibility is this very moment. It is where you can digest all living beings, your life, others' lives, trees, birds, and all sentient beings, and produce new creative life energy. That's pretty good for us, he says. Then we feel comfortable and peaceful, and this is the peaceful life. It's not creating a little nest for ourselves, a little perfect nest with everything just the way we like it. It's actually just accepting ourselves with everybody. Accept the whole kit and caboodle, just as it is. And then see what you can do. There's always something to do. Then there's a chapter called Living with Great Hope. Hope is a very odd word. Chogyam Trungpa says you should never even think about hope, that that's a lost cause. And I tend to agree with him. But Katagiri is very... his way of thinking about it is a little different. He said, all you can do is entrust yourself to the life that's given to you now. Live your own life as it really is. But it doesn't mean just accepting it blindly. It means accepting a profound awareness of something that's greater than the intellectual world. It means accepting it and digesting it through your everyday life. You have to actually touch something deep that is eternal. By making your body and mind calm, you can go deeply into the human world and touch your life profoundly. He talks about death. He has a long chapter about, a long paragraph. In the middle of death, there is no sense of I, there's just death. So when I participate in death, I won't know what death is because I'm not there. My life is gone and I won't feel anything. Even though I've experienced enlightenment, when I die, all the enlightenment that I've experienced will be gone. The Zen center and the people there will be gone from me. So I always think that I want to haunt the Zen center after my death. He's very cute. I want to know how people take care of the Zen center. All I can finally do is face the fact that I have to die. All I can do now is practice Buddha's teaching day by day. He says, life and death are nothing but momentum energy connected with all sentient beings without exception. You can't control that enormous energy. You have to walk alone, right in the middle of moment, step by step, with an open heart. That's all you can do. What he means by hope is reincarnation. So, he says, I think the purpose of spiritual life is just to go forward toward the future with great hope. your life is not limited only to this life. Your life is going to the future, next life, life after next life, maybe life after next next life. Maybe your life is going forever. He says, when I say this, then you say that Katagiri believes in reincarnation. Yes, I believe that way, but I don't attach to it. Buddhism has unlimited hope about human life and the human world. So we believe in reincarnation or eternity, but we never attach to it. That is the key point. And this is the last chapter, I do believe. Finding time in Buddha's Dharma. Talks about the dynamic activity again that connects your life with everything. The huge network of interwoven time and space is exactly the same as Dharma. Dharma is a state of being that is always functioning at super speed, supporting, helping, and nurturing all beings. If you see that state of being, you realize that this is true. Seeing the truth, and we call it Dharma. To see the real picture of human life, you have to practice and open yourself. He talks about this, an unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma that we just chanted. It is rarely met with, even in 100,000,000 kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. This vow is very, very deep and very important. Usually when we open a book of teachings, we chant this. Even if you're sitting alone and opening up the Lotus Sutra, you chant this little gatha. It's deep respect and knowledge, acknowledgement of how precious it is. Katagiri says, if you listen to Buddha's teaching, gradually your mind becomes magnanimous. I love that. It's true, I've seen it so many times. Then very naturally a vow comes up. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. The Tathagata is Buddha. Tathagata's words are Buddha's teaching. Saying this means I vow to open myself and see clearly the network of interwoven time and space that is unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma, truth. This vow expresses the total joy and gratitude of realizing how lucky we are to exist as human beings, sharing our life with all beings. It's saying, I'm resolved to listen and try to understand the true meaning of Buddha's teaching, and I will try to walk in the deep course of practicing Buddha's teaching forever. He talks about a being, ourself as being something amazing that we really don't quite know what it is. A being whose life is already supported by the vast network of space and time. He says, when a being arises, it's not just one thing. All things arise with it. A whole world arises with it. And when the being disappears, that whole world disappears with it too. This is you and me. He's very frank. He says, I can control some conditions in my life, but mostly I can't. Sometimes I don't like giving talks. When I look at my English, I hate my English. So he says, the time is ripe and conditions are arranged for me to talk, and so I sit down and talk. It's kind of like that all the time, right? Your human life is important because if you take care of this right now with wholeheartedness, you create good conditions for the next right now. So we're never stuck in this moment. We're always in motion. And what we do now is certainly has a lot to do with what happens to the next right now. He says, Buddha's teaching is really vast and magnificent. So even if you don't understand the meaning exactly, you shouldn't stop trying. You always have an opportunity to see Buddha's teaching because no one and nothing is outside of Buddha's teaching. Buddha constantly extends compassion to every inch of the universe. Buddha's hands and heart support everything and everyone, whoever they are, wherever they may go. If you open yourself completely, it hits your heart. Then you appreciate that Dharma, Buddha's compassion, the ultimate nature of existence, or whatever words you use, is always helping and supporting your life. Katagiri. Thank you very much. Are there questions? Comments? Jeffrey?
I just wanted to reiterate what you just said. I really have felt and found that this text has been a real gift in ways in which one of the things that I found so satisfying and poignant was this deepening of one's practice. How you deepen yourself in this practice. Mm-hmm. How you look to deepen yourself in this practice. Mm-hmm. And he's left some really fine teachers. And the people that have come down from him are really fine people,
mm-hmm.
and continue to teach, even though he has disappeared.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful that we've had a chance to really delve into this. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, what else are we going to delve into? That's the question. Anybody have an idea? We've talked about this before, but we never did decide. Do you remember, Marie? Do you remember what we... No, I don't either. I remember Karen wanting to study the Heart Sutra. That's the only one that I remember.
We were talking about Dogen, I think, as well, last time around.
Yeah, we could do Dogen. There's Bendoa. And there's Uchiyama Roshi's wonderful book about Bendoa. Roman?
Have you read that... I mean, not that I'm going to be here much, but... I listen to the podcast, so... that Realizing Genjo Kōan, have you read that?
Yes.
That's a killer book.
It is. It is a killer book.
Yeah.
We could do that. Genjo Kōan, that's everybody's realizing, challenge.
Yeah.
Realizing.
Forwarded by Dan Lighten.
Yes.
The author's name slipped on the line. That's really good.
It is really good. Yeah. There are several good books about the Genjo Kōan. And many translations, because it's one of those mystery documents, you could say, that can't be penetrated with the intellect at all. It's a poem, and it's a wonderful poem. You can live with it for days and days and hold it close. It's one of the best things that Dogen did. But he has one on mountains and rivers that's very wonderful. Eric's favorite, I bet.
Mountains and rivers without end.
Yeah. Yeah. One about the cook, cooking your life. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's a wonderful one.
Since I've been Shuso up at Jikoji, I find myself spending a lot of time studying Zui Monkey, Dogen's classical Zui Monkey.
Yes.
On how to live as a monk, as an ordained person.
Well, you're being a monk up there right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect for me.
Perfect for you. But we're not monks down here.
Oh. We all share the same monkness. How can we be different?
Well, in that sense, we're not different, but yeah. In the another sense, we can't do it that way.
No. Is that the one that talks about the rice cake there?
No, the painted rice cake?
Yeah, no, that's a different one. That's different.
No, that's another chapter.
Yeah.
There are many, many, many chapters in Shogo Genzo. And they're all delicious. So, shall we do Dogen? Or the Heart Sutra? Or the Third Patriarch? Somebody was interested. Violet was interested in the Third Patriarch. Somebody say something.
Faith in mind is really nice. That Third Patriarch's.
It is. Monk. Faith in mind is a nice. Wonderful thing.
We chant it at Chikoji in the morning often.
Oh, nice. Yeah?
I vote for Realizing Genjo Kōan. I just picked that up today off of my coffee table. And what does that mean? When you go back to the beginning and actually read it. It would be wonderful to go back through it again and relive what it's all about. So that's my vote.
How synergistic is that?
Yeah, absolutely. as well as with the book, I think that you helped edit regarding Coben's transcripts that was done. I have that on my coffee.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little more difficult to digest.
Yes.
The way he talked, but I find great interest in it.
Is that embracing that?
Yes.
Nico, you had a suggestion.
Well, I was just going to go for the Heart Sutra because we chant it all the time. So it's
true.
Almost. But is that synergistic or is that just monotony? I don't know. No, it's always, it seems always good, but.
Yes.
It's kind of an obvious thing to suggest, maybe.
Well, it's the essence of all the teaching of this untalkaboutable business that we're involved with. And it tries to express something in a way that is good to know.
It echoes, you can pick up traces of it throughout other writings because it uses the terminology so in such a condensed way that it keeps turning up in other places. Echoes of it.
It does. In fact, it spells out Buddha's teaching and says it isn't.
Yeah.
So I always think it's the whole of Buddha's teaching on a blackboard, and then the Heart Sutra is carefully erasing the whole thing and leaving you with a little plum in the middle that is important to know.
Well, I make a suggestion that we do dons and then follow up after we're finished with realizing the end of gone.
To do the Heart Sutra?
I think that would be lovely. We have done the Heart Sutra.
Not
that long ago.
Yeah.
No, and it was quite a while ago.
I'm sorry, what?
4 years ago, 45 years ago.
Then yes, I'm really feeling this perfect alignment, whether it's the planets or your eyes. But I think that would be. What do you think?
Oh, it's fine with me. It's fine.
See, oh my God! thank you so much.
All right, let's vote. Genjo Koan. Heart Sutra. Well, I guess we'll go with your suggestion. Why don't we do that? Okay.
Okay.
All right. They'll know you're listening too, Roman. Yes. Yeah. That's what those tape. This thing is for.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all very much. Are there announcements? Anything we need to know?
On Saturday the 14th, we're having a half day sit here, and we need someone to volunteer to open. I can help them. I can't do it by myself.
And we're going to celebrate Buddha's birthday, so bring flowers. We'll offer flowers. We can't do a lot of sloppy stuff with tea and things here because it's not our place, but we can bring flowers and offer those, which is part of it anyway. Flowers rained down on the baby Buddha when he was born. So we can rain some on him.
Announcements from Jokoji. Readings from Jokoji, first of all. We are in the middle of the Tanjo A Sashin, and anybody who wants to come by can do so for any part of any day. This Saturday, we are having a Shuso ceremony for Eric Remington, and everybody is invited to join in on that. And then, is it the next day? Yeah, then on Sunday, I guess after the usual Sunday program, we're doing a Buddha's birthday thing too, which anybody can come up to and join in the fun.
Yes, and bring children if you have children. Kids love it. It's all about kids, really.
Yes, bring your kids up, Roman. We have one resident child already, as you know, Andy.
Yes, yes. Excellent.
We're not talking about me. The teachers for the Tanjoe are Doug and, sorry, Mike Newhall, Doug Jacobson, and Mr. Eric here. So come up if you'd like.
What time is the shoe sew ceremony?
2 on Saturday.
Okay.
What's a shoe sew ceremony?
She's actually not that young.
What is a shoe sew ceremony?
It is when a practicer is recognized as being ready to teach.
Okay.
And it's a ceremony for everyone from the Sangha to test his understanding.
Oh.
Ask him questions. Mm-hmm.
As tough as you can think of.
Verbal
the best practitioner will be delighted upon that.
It's like defending your dissertation.
A little bit.
Dharma battle.
No, it's a really, it's a, that ceremony is a very, very fun one. Mm.
It is very fun.
It's really, really, you know, quick answers, you know, very, very to the point. Very fun.
You can't think the answer.
You can't think the answer.
No.
Help, help.
No, it comes from the belly. Yes. Can't wait. Well, let's have our 1 minute sit.